We're here in rural Keokuk today at the home of Miles Brewer and his wife. Mr. Brewer is a retired teacher in the Keokuk school system, mainly elementary grades. Later on, he did some community teaching through the college in the history of various businesses in Keokuk and so forth. And he has some memories of the depot. I'm here with Janet Smith, the president of the Keokuk Union Depot Foundation. My name is Richard Leonard, and we're going to ask Mr. Brewer about his reminiscences about the depot. I think the first thing you mentioned had to do with your grandfather.
That's correct. I want to thank you people for including me in your research. It's a privilege for me to be able to share. When I finished my college degree in the spring of 1958, I was looking for a job. And there was a team from Keokuk educators recruiting on the campus where I was had just gotten my brand new degree. And within 45 minutes of my interview, I was an employee of the Keokuk Community School District. So in August, I arrived in Keokuk of 1958, and sometime probably about 6 weeks after school began, I went to visit my grandfather. He lived in Millerton, Iowa, which is about 65 miles south of Des Moines, Wayne County, and I was telling him that I was working in Keokuk, and his eyes lit up, and he said, "I know something about Keokuk."
All
and
right.
He related to me the fact that for a graduation gift in 1906, his father had given him a ticket to the World's Fair, which was held in St. Louis at that time. And his transportation means was by train to get from Corydon, which is the town where he boarded, to St. Louis. And in that train trip, he arrived in Keokuk on the Rock Island, and he remembered when he came to visit me later that year, about Christmas time, and we went down to the depot. He recognized the place very readily and told me some other experiences he'd had on that trip. But he was elated to be able to see that the building had not changed as he observed it. Now, in 58, of course, the roof line had been modified, but he knew where he was. And we had a nice visit there, talking about the experiences he had at the fair. The bird cage is still there from the from the World's Fair. And I told him that I'd taken my kids down there and we'd visit the bird cage. But it was a great experience to share with him and for him to share with me his graduation gift trip on the Rock Island through Keokuk to St. Louis.
That was the line then that came down like from Eldon, Iowa, through Keosauqua and Farmington.
Yes.
And along the Des Moines River.
Right.
It's good to hear somebody talk about that because you don't hear very much about that Rock Island line. We haven't been able to find hardly any pictures of that. You knew Gene Carriker, right?
Yes.
Who was the agent at that time?
Mr. Carriker, I met him in the fall of 58 when I arrived here. He was an attendee at the church that I attended. And the first night I was in Keokuk, I sang in the choir in that church, and he did too. And
all right.
So we got acquainted rather quickly, and I soon found that he was a ticket agent at the Keokuk Depot. And I went down on Saturdays and spent some time with him visiting, and he'd show me around the different compartments and the places where the freight was handled, and then, of course, the dispensing of tickets and planning with people for long-distance trips, the first stage of which was by rail. He was a very interesting gentleman to talk with, very knowledgeable, and we had a lot of good visits. One of the things that was interesting to me, I'd noticed this before, but he pointed out that these freight carts, which were hand-operated, air-cooled, had rather tall wheels, and they were engineered with the same altitude as the freight car. They would open the door on the railroad car and roll this cart up to it, and they matched, and they could unload the heavy things on that cart, and then he'd bring them into the depot freight section and sort them out and notify people that their things were ready for pickup. And then, of course, there was a a lot of things there for the post office. And he put them in a certain spot, and the post office people came and retrieved their parcel post packages and delivered them door to door. But a lot of the industrial people, business people, picked up their own merchandise directly in the freight part of the depot. So that was interesting to me. I talked with some people that were working on the reconstruction of the post office, that they were looking for some of those, or at least one of those carts, and I haven't found out whether they've ever located one or not, but I suggested that they check the internet. They probably could very well find one.
Well, we have pictures that show baggage carts next to the depot, but no, we have never been able to get a line on where one might be available. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have one.
You bet. We need one or two. You
yes,
bet.
Yes, we do.
Now, you did mention the last passenger train.
Yes.
In 1967.
Correct. My son was 4 years old, and when the Delegate City published the fact that the passenger service would be discontinued to Keokuk, it was about 3 months before the actual fact happened, and I don't remember the date when the last train arrived in town, but at any rate, I had an uncle in Bentendorf, and I had him check and see if there was a direct line from Bentendorf or Davenport to Keokuk on by rail, and there was, and I had him get my little boy, who was four, a ticket, and he and I and my family, my lady, went with us to drive up to Bentendorf, and then we boarded the train, and my son and I rode from Bentendorf to Keokuk, and that was a very interesting experience, one which neither of us will ever forget. And then when the actual last train was scheduled to arrive, we made it a point, the whole family went down, and it was amazing to me. It was after dark, not really, really late, but not very many people were there. And I took Kent up when the conductor disembarked from his car there, and he nobody boarded, and I think maybe two or three people got off there, but at any rate, it was very little traffic, and the conductor offered to take my son into the car, and so he helped him up. Four-year-olds don't have very long wheelbase, so the step was quite a stretch, I remember, but at any rate, Kent got to board the last passenger train that stopped in Keokuk, and then he came off the train, and the conductor gave his signal with the lantern to the engineer to roll out, and and that's what I recall about the last passenger service to Keokuk.
Yes, that was April 7, 1967, and the train was signed out at about 10:17 p.m.
Okay.
So your son was up past his bedtime.
Yep, it was dark, yep.
Well, you were present when the apex was reinstalled at the top of the depot central tower in 2016, the very end of August that year. And tell us about your experience then.
Well, I had followed this process in Delegate City, and I had a nice friend. A church group of men meets every Tuesday morning at McDonald's. And this lady and her guy are always in there, and we always visit for a little bit. And she was telling me about this crowning that was coming up, and, and I got the dates. And I made it a point to make sure that I would be present for that. I was a scout leader for 53 years, and so I have a lot of costumes, including Casey Jones. So I donned my pinstripe overalls and my Casey Jones cap and put a red bandana in around my neck so I don't get any hot sparks down my neck, and just observed most of the time, but I had a lot of people come chat with me briefly about my costume, and I told them, related to them, my grandfather's story, and then Channel 7 News chatted with me for just a little bit, and I told them about that incident as well. But to see that crane lift all of that weight so effortlessly, and to think about the planning that went into that, both by the builders and the erectors, it was a thrilling experience to think that we now have the roof line of our Depot restored to its original intent, and it'll be there from now on, complete in its original architecture, and I'm glad that that's been accomplished.
We're glad you could be there. That was quite the event.
I remember speaking with you at that time, and you also spoke with a group of school students from Hamilton who came over to watch the event. And that was really special for them to be able to speak with you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Is there anything else about the depot that you recall that you care to share with us before we bring this to a close?
Well, that pretty well tells you about my experience with the Kicker Depot. During World War II, my father worked on the Oak Ridge Project in Tennessee, and I don't know what the business was, but for some reason, my mother had to migrate back to Iowa for this business, whatever it was, and she had three little kids. I was the oldest. I was in second grade. And we left Harriman, Tennessee, and went to Cincinnati. And it was all steam engines, of course, during World War II. Probably it was about 1943. And we changed trains in Cincinnati and headed west for Chicago. Grand Central Station is probably about the biggest building I've ever been in. There were lots of people there, but there were also a lot of helpers, and we didn't have any trouble there. But when we left Cincinnati, the train was so crowded, there was absolutely no place for everybody to have a seat. So I had a suitcase between the cars. There was a bellows type, like a bathtub curtain, only really heavy duty stuff, but it had bellows in it so that it could move when the train went around the curve and not expose anybody to the elements. And I rode from Cincinnati to Chicago between train cars, sitting on a suitcase.
So you probably watched the apron going back and forth between. You didn't want to step in both at the same time.
And it was unbelievably noisy. Yeah. Those wheels were clacking vigorously.
Do you remember which railroad that was?
Well, it was the Burlington from Chicago to Sheraton, but before Cincinnati, I do not know.
Did you have to change stations in Chicago?
Yes. We went from Harriman, Tennessee to Cincinnati, changed and headed west to Chicago, changed at Chicago to the Burlington Northern. It wasn't Northern then, it was a Burlington.
Right.
The Zephyr.
Yes.
And we zipped to Sheraton, Iowa. That's where both of my parents lived in Wayne County, where I chatted with you at first about my grandfather who got the ticket for his birthday, and they picked us up at the Burlington station in Sheraton.
It's always so much fun to hear stories about the old times and the trains. I really wish we had good train service now and wish passenger trains came through Keokuk.
Well, it's a privilege for me to share, and I always enjoy meeting people, and it doesn't take me long to tell everything I know, but I have fun doing it.
Well, we certainly want to thank you very much for sharing these memories, and we appreciate your time today.
Thank you very, very much.
You're certainly welcome.